we're going to continue in the principle and the concept, the word of working the word. This tonight is going to be a real practical application. So turn again to Proverbs 22. We're going to eat the same food that we ate Sunday. And before we do, I have something I want to show you. Okay, so what I showed everybody, for those of you in tape land, was a woman that's approximately 5'10", 5'11". Anybody, any women here 5'10"? Yes. She weighed 220 to 225 pounds. And the picture here is, well, let's say it's grotesque. That's putting it mildly. And so I want to ask you a question. And if you think you know, raise your hand. I don't want you just popping the answer out. Why do people change? And by the way, this says you are what you eat. Well, this, she died. No, there is another picture. Why do people change? If you think you know, raise your hand. Let's see, who will I pick? Amy. Nope. Don. Nope. Jerry. That's close. It's a leaner, but it's not the money. Rebecca. Not good enough. Bonnie. Not, no. Not good enough. That's it. People change because they want to. They want to. They want to. Hey, you know what? That's no different. Dr. Schultz says he can tell within the first 2 minutes when he's talking to somebody who's got terminal cancer whether or not they're going to live or die. Within 2 minutes. Because if they're coming to him to fix them, they're going to die. If they're coming to him with an "I'm going to do whatever this man says and I'm going to do it," their chances of living are right up the scale. So whether you have a disease or whatever your problem is, but see, we're not really talking about physically. This isn't really a health class. We're talking about characteristically. We're talking about in our soul and in our spirit. Changing. And we don't change because we don't want to. And until we get honest with ourselves, look, you're not going to make me, if you say to me, "You're right, I haven't changed because I don't want to," I'm not going to go, "Oh, how? What is wrong with you?" I'm not going to go off on you. I've never gone off on anybody because they haven't changed. But until you understand how it works, which many of us don't, until we understand how it works, we're not changing. So when I talk about working the word, that has been something that has been increasingly becoming frustrating in me, because we've got to a certain level in our walk where we peaked, and where it, you know, the message is like almost like a sweet song. And so I've been going through some changes myself as to what's happening with me, what's going on with me, where's my passion at. And so the last several meetings, it's been, the Spirit has been spearheading basically one thing. And that is that the words that we're getting from the Holy Ghost, we're not applying and we're not working those words. So, therefore, we don't change. So I'll show you the other side. Same thing. Within the first 6 months, this woman lost 50 pounds. And she got off of meat and chicken and things like that, and junk food, and she ate basically fruits and nuts and vegetables. And then after 6 months, she kind of peaked. And so, oh, I got to tell you this. Okay, so people change why? They want to. This woman was a nurse. Now this is, if you can get this, it'll change your life tonight. It'll change your life tonight. Tonight will be the beginning of a new life for you if you get this. The woman, finally, she did everything she could to try and lose weight. Anybody been there? And what she decided to do was, and she was a career nurse. She was in her 40s. Between 30 and 40 years old. It doesn't give her age, but some of the things it says she did, one of the things she started taking was something that women between 30 and 40 need. So the woman was between 30 and 40 years old, 225 pounds, fat everywhere, and within about 2.5 years, this is what came out. Which, she's a beautiful woman, you have to admit. Yeah. I mean, her whole face changed, everything about her. Her hair changed. She went from just being extremely unhealthy to extremely beautiful. How did she get this way? Well, she decided that she was going to get off the train that was doing this to her. So she's an RN in that whole lifestyle. So you know what she does? She quits her occupation. She walked away. She decided one morning, she woke up and she said, for me to change, I have to change my whole life and my whole atmosphere. So guess where she applied for employment? At a fitness center. At one of the most prestigious ones in California. Valleys. She was the first and only 5'10", 225, fat, obese, ugly looking woman that they ever hired. She convinced them. She changed her life. She walked away. Not only did she turn out like this 2 years later, but she ended up, this is Max Muscle magazine, and it's Max Muscle is it's one of the top bodybuilding bodybuilding, major bodybuilding, world-class bodybuilding supplements. Now, what she didn't have that we have, there's two things actually. We have an eternal life that we're looking at, which is much more important than this. But you can't, look, if you think that you can hang on to this spiritually and keep your eternal position, I'm afraid for you. And that's why, you know, this came across my desk and I felt like it was from the Lord. So she changed her environment. She realized she needed a different spiritual influence. And one of the things that we have that she didn't have was we have Sunrider products. And where what she put into her diet, what they helped her with her diet, of course, and they gave her the products that Max Muscle has. And everything that they gave her is in the Sunrider food chain product line except for the protein that she took. Because she took protein. She took a protein supplement. And instead of that, we have Nuplus. And here's, now this is so important. After 6 months and losing 50 pounds, and for those of you thinking, what has this got to do with spiritual life? Okay, I'm getting to it. First the natural, then the spiritual. That's what Corinthians says. If you don't understand the natural, guess what? You're stumbling, fumbling your way through the spiritual. You've got to understand a few things in the natural before you'll ever really get to where you need to be and where the Lord wants you to be to overcome and be a spiritual powerhouse to be able to pull people out of darkness. So you got to understand a few things. At the end of 6 months, she peaked, and what she realized was the vegetarian diet that basically she had been put on and she was on wasn't giving her enough energy to go to the next level. So, in other words, she could tell that her energy level was not at the place where she could do what she needed to do to get the next 50 pounds off and start to define and shape, reshape her body. So she started eating red meat and chicken, and most bodybuilders and even strength people and fighters and people that really know, they don't eat as much red meat as they eat chicken, because chicken protein in chicken is more assimilable into your system than anything else. So they usually have a high chicken diet. But what did she realize? She realized that she was lacking the energy to go to the next level. Are you hearing this? Why don't we go from faith to faith and level to level and grow after we get to a place we burst into another realm? Why don't we do that? Because we lose the energy. We don't have the right food. Milk belongs to babies. Milk belongs, what does the scripture say? Milk belongs to those that are not of full age. Right? Meat belongs to those that are mature. What does that tell us? It tells us there has to be a diet change as we grow. Now, if you remember, about 3 or 4 messages ago, I talked about moving on if we can. Leaving, therefore, the principles and doctrines of Christ unto perfection. Remember that?
Yes.
What is that? What is that? In relation to this, what is that? It's a diet change. You have to change your diet if you're going to break through into another level of spirituality. You know, the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, hung on the cross for our sins, the sins of the world were put on him, died, was buried, resurrected on the third day, was seen of over 500 people over 40 days, ascended to the Father, and then gave the Holy Ghost to 120 people in the upper room, and the church was birthed. That's great. But we have to move on from that. If that's all we're telling people, and if that's all we ever have, if that's all we eat, we're going to be babes our whole life. I'm not doing spite or belittling the gospel. What I told you was just the gospel. Okay? That's the gospel. Born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, hung on the cross, died, buried, resurrected. That's the gospel. Now that will never lose its power. But once we become sons and daughters in the kingdom, and once we start growing, we need to eat food proportionate to the growth that we're experiencing. And we're going to get into that tonight. And working the word is what's necessary for us to get to the place where we can burst into, where God can release us into greater revelations and a greater dimension of power. When I was in Fort Lauderdale for 4 years, I worked the word. I didn't let any message go and fall to the ground. I was continuing in the word of the Lord that was given to us every day. I contended with my wife over it. I spoke it to everybody who I worked with. It was the conversation that we talked about. We didn't talk about sports and football and what was on TV the last night in the movie we went and saw. I probably didn't see 5 movies in 4 years. It's probably the truth. I probably didn't. My life was very, very regimented and very busy. I worked 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. 10 to 12 hours a day. And then after I got off of work, I set up for meetings, 4 or 5 meetings a week. I didn't get to bed in 4 years. I don't remember ever getting to bed before 12:30. 12:30, I don't ever remember getting up any later than about 6 to 7 o'clock in the morning. I ran to and from work most of the time, which was 1.5 miles. After mowing lawns for 12 hours, 10 hours. I was at the same weight I was when I graduated from high school. I was 260 pounds, bench pressing over 400 pounds. And when the Lord got a hold of me, I went back down to 178. 185 pounds. zero body fat, just about. I worked in a humidity, you know, it's like working in a greenhouse in South Florida. And my life was filled with the Word. And I loved it. And that's what burst me into ministry. I had much more faith than I knew what to do with. I was sitting on nitro. And the Lord birthed a ministry in me totally apart from any knowledge of my own. I didn't even know I was in full-time ministry until a year and a half after I was in it. That's what He wants to do with us. But we have to pay closer attention and heed to the things that we hear. We have to start making a decision at this point in our lives who we're going to follow and what kind of people we're going to be. Because the entrapments of the world are not going to become less. They're going to become more and more. And the history of the church is the same as the history of Israel. The history of Israel is they started out with nothing, and God made them the wealthiest, most powerful, most highly educated, cleanest, hygienically superior nation in the world. That's what Israel was. And then they went downhill from there. And that's exactly what's happening in the church. It's what's happened in the church history, all through church history. Having spiritual power and having the ability to have God work through you is something that no national or leader or president or king or prime minister or dictator has. They don't have that. They don't have the power of God working through their life. The Christian does. The Christian has access to things that no leader in this world has access to apart from Christ. And unfortunately, the church has used this power to become like the world. It's terrible. And so we've lost 50 pounds. We've done good up to this time, but you know what? We've been at 50 pounds for quite a while now. And what the Lord is trying to do with us is saying you need to change your diet. There's nothing wrong with food I'm giving you, but you're not eating it. You're taking it in your mouth and you're tasting it and you're saying this is good, and then you're taking it out or you're throwing it up. So we've got to change what we're doing. So when she changed her diet and started taking on meat, which I said we could replace that with New Plus, which I did. I mean, personal testimony, I got been off protein now for 9 months. I haven't lost any energy at all. I've got more energy getting off of any kind of meat or chicken or protein supplements. I've got more energy than I had when I was eating it. And that's because of the New Plus and the Vita Shake and the products. That's whole food. That's why they're not supplements. And see, God doesn't want to give us supplements either. You know what supplements are a lot of times? Isolates. It's a prophetic word. We go to a meeting where the Spirit moves. Could be like Sunday. We could call Sunday a binge on supplements or a binge on isolates. We came Sunday and we got a oxygen induced atmosphere with some B12 shots and some some isolate energy, vitamins, minerals, and it just pumped us. Now that's because it's coming from the Lord, because it's of His Spirit, it's part of who we are. And it's part of who He is. But it could be like just getting a shot of B12 if we don't use it for how it's intended to be used and realize that we can experience that apart from having somebody lay hands on me or somebody prophesying over me. You can experience that in your own relationship with Jesus if you value what He's feeding you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, let's take a look at this. We're at Proverbs 22. And I just want to go over briefly 17 through 21. Because I want to add some supplements. I want to add something to what was given Sunday, because I think maybe we can hear a little bit more. Okay, verse 17 says, "Bow your ear," which was what? Humble your heart, right? Bow your ear, I said, was humbling yourself. Humble yourself to hear the words of the wise. Okay, the words of the wise could be the words that come from this book. It could be the words that come from God's people. Okay? The words of wisdom. Is that good? And unto my knowledge, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of this word, the knowledge of the Lord, right? For it's a pleasant thing if you keep them in sight of you. This is like, why do we have to eat? Because I get hungry. No, that's not why we eat. What's hunger? Hunger's a little red light going off. Time to eat. If you have a rightly balanced metabolism, you'll only get hungry when it's time to eat. And you have to condition yourself. Anorexia and bulimia and all these different conditions that we put ourselves, we have to create these conditions. These conditions are not diseases. I don't care what the they call alcoholism a disease because it provides for insurance and provides money. Alcoholism is not a disease. It doesn't float through the air. You can't catch it, okay? And it's not hereditary either. That's just not true. My mother was an alcoholic. I didn't get the alcoholic disease when I was born. I chose to start drinking. It wasn't something I needed to do. I didn't need a fix. I wasn't didn't come out of the womb and at 1 and a half was going through the cupboards looking for a drink to settle my nerves. But it says it's a pleasant thing to keep within you. Okay, so hunger tells us what? We need to eat. Why? Because the body needs some more gas. It's that simple. Our bodies were created to work on fuel. Food is fuel. Our spirits were created to work on fuel. Now, if you have a converter on your car can burn water. Did you know that? If you had a right kind of converter on your car could run on water. Can run on corn extract. Can run on Jim Beam. It could run on beer. Potatoes. Raw potatoes. Your car could run on raw potatoes. All it needs is the right mechanism to convert that energy. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Your spirit's the same way. Your spirit was created to have fellowship with God, because everybody that cracks the womb is a creation of God. Okay? Everybody. Because the sperm and the egg is the creation of God. It's the mystery of creation. God set that in order. So you don't need to get married to have children. Right? You don't. So goes the funny business. There's a lot of. You don't need to follow God's order for the creative mandate that he set in order to work. You don't need to worship God one bit of your life to be prosperous. Do you realize that? You can curse God and be rich. Oh yeah. You think that's true? See, we as Christians, we think, well, he's not going to prosper because he doesn't tithe. Well, you know what? If he is committed his life to the Lord and he doesn't tithe, he can't prosper. If he's committed himself to, that's some of your problems. Hey, look at me. That's some of your problems. You've said, Jesus, I do. Or better yet, I will. You know, we're all betrothed. Nobody here is married. Yet. You understand that? You're not married to Jesus yet. You're betrothed. You're engaged. And he's waiting to see if you're going to be faithful. He sends his emissaries from time to time to see what you're doing. Where are you at? When the sun goes down. What are you doing? Do you wear the veil when you go out? Or are you letting everybody see you so that you can receive gratification in some way or another? How do you present yourself to the world? See, he's waiting. And those of us that have been filled with the Spirit have been given the what? Down payment, the earnest money. In other words, those of us that have been filled with the Spirit, the deal's already been made, the contract's been signed, and the money's been paid. That's what happens, you know, in the wedding, in the marriage betrothal. Is the man that comes to buy the bride from the father, money transpires, the drink, the contract's made, and all things are set. So we're waiting. And the question is, what kind of betrothed, promised virgin are we? Okay, so he says, if his words remain within you, they will be fitted to your lips. The words will become part of everything that you speak and everything that you say. Verse 21, that you might know the certainty of the words of truth. That you might answer the words of truth to them that send for you. Now when our bodies, when we get hungry, it's because our bodies need fuel. According to what we, and this is a great thing about your body. There was a time when before I stopped eating meat, that I thought about stopping eating meat. The thought of it wasn't pleasant. So I didn't. I didn't stop. But it's an amazing thing. When I decided, you know what? And I won't go through some of the reasons, but I came to a place where I said, you know, I don't need it. And I realized this thing had me, I didn't have it. And you know, I get kind of emotional when I see that I'm being controlled. I don't like it. I don't like being controlled. And when I think of something as small as a desire controlling me, I have a hard time with that. Especially when it's unseen. So I came to a place, I said, you know what? I don't need it. I put it away. I haven't missed it. Now that's gonna pass over some of you guys' head. If you're honest with me, it's gonna pass over your head. You know what it's like? It's like how we used to think before we were Christians. Now, I never knew any Christians before I was a Christian, but you know, how some of the young people look at us, they look at me and they say, well, you know, he's old now and all of his energy and, you know, the forces of his life have abated. So, you know, he probably doesn't lust anymore because, you know, he's old enough now. I mean, why would he lust, you know? And, you know, this is how we think. We think that, well, he doesn't have much going for him and he's done a lot in life. And so, you know, he's in a place where he could serve the Lord. And I said, wouldn't it be a great thing to be able to serve the Lord and not sin because you didn't want to sin? I mean, if it's still your choice, and if heaven were not contingent on whether you sinned or not, you wouldn't because you just don't want to. There is a new level and revelation to come to. You mean you really don't miss it? You really don't miss me? You really don't think about having a steak? No, I don't. Don't miss it. Because when you set your will in Christ, he does something for you. Now, you know something? I could change tomorrow. I have the ability to frustrate the grace of God that he's given me. You see, grace is not anything that we deserve or earn. So let me explain this. The grace that's on me that really makes me happy, even though I'm not having a steak, that's grace. I didn't get that. I didn't earn that. But what I did is I positioned myself to receive it. When I set my will in Christ in an area, His answer and His response is grace. Now, a lot of times we think we earned it. A lot of times we think that this grace that's on me, I produced. And when you do, you're going to find yourself stumbling a week from now. And you're going to find yourself, you know, you get up and give a testimony, yep, free from lust. How'd you get there? Well, I decided. And then the following week, you're rifling through everything you can to find a nude somewhere. I won't ask for a show of hands. But you know, that's how it works. Anybody here, you know what I'm talking about? Am I talking to the right people? Okay. I just want to make sure you guys aren't angels in earthly bodies that are just come to this meeting, checking me out, see if I'm doctrinally right.
You need to be too religious to admit it.
Too religious to admit it, yeah. That's a good one too. Because people who are religious about things and religiously disciplined, these are the worst kind of people. Because these people burn inside and are tormented inside because they never do it, but that's all they think about. And they're mad as hell at everybody else who does. Now, so, I want to go give you the flip side here. So your spirit, okay, your car can burn water, gas, potatoes, beer. If you had the right converter, it can burn anything, right? Well, your spirit's that way. Your spirit can exist on demonic fuel. Your spirit, actually, your energy and your motivation, man, you could be motivated by the most foul type of fuel in existence. And you can have an ultimate passion for it. And be evangelizing hundreds a day in what you're, this raunchy spiritual food, the spiritual fuel that you're eating. We could, anybody here, Hugh Hefner? Larry Flint? These guys, you know, Playboy magazine, Hustler magazine? These guys feed their spirit foul fuel every day. And they're evangelizing millions. And these are the most passionate people. I mean, Larry Flint's been shot. He's paralyzed. Nothing works below the belt. And this guy goes to Congress. This guy, I mean, he is the number one advocate for pornography in the world. You think the guy'd get the message. But you know, why is he like that? Why does he have that kind of passion? I mean, my goodness, if he had that kind of passion for Jesus, he'd be going to Vietnam and going over to Saudi Arabia and evangelizing the sheik. And he wouldn't even care about losing his eyes and his head and his hands and his toes. Because he'd be filled with passion for Jesus. Now, how does he function that way? How does he have that kind of energy?
Because he's being fueled by what he's hungry for and what he's conditioned himself to eat. You have the ability. How do we change? Because we want to. You are eating what you want to. Now, the reason that we're not, some of us are not changing spiritually, and you say, well, you know, yeah, he's a good guy, and the fellowship, they're nice people, but, you know, I got my life to live. I've got some things I need to do. The reason we get to that is because we're not really eating the food. And we will not condition ourselves to eat what's right. And most of the time, we won't do that because we're just playing two things. We're stupid. We're actually dumb. We're stupid. And we're following after what we've desired that we haven't even yet to have. Jesus is not real to us. And that's something nobody can change except you. Jesus will not obey me if I say, go visit him tonight because we're going to lose him. If you don't visit him, we'll lose him. He won't do that. He won't say, okay, Gene, I'll go. He won't do that. But if I said, don't visit him, I want them to go, and I get everybody together in this body and we pray, Lord, don't visit that guy. We want him out of here. And we all fast and pray and beseech Jesus to run this guy off. And he says, Lord, please help me overcome this. We won't be able to run him off. And nothing can remove that individual. But it has to come from him. Okay, what does this word help us do? Well, this woman got a hold of a whole diet plan from Max Muscle, and she entered their program. She entered their contest, a contest and a program. Like, you know, like what's Fit for Life and different other ones. And so they gave her a list of supplements and a program how to use the supplements and what kind of diet to be on. And they did this after she lost 50 pounds. They realized she was serious enough to lose 50 pounds and give up her career, so she entered the program. So, what Max Muscle was to her body, this is to our body, our soul, and our spirit. This is our diet. And only ignorant, stupid, now ignorance, if you're willfully ignorant, then you're stupid. And you're guilty of being an idiot and a dummy and a fool. Every bad thing the Bible says about people like that, that's what you're going to be called if you're willfully ignorant. If you're ignorant just because the Lord hasn't opened your eyes yet or you haven't been given an opportunity to know, there's nothing wrong with being ignorant. This is our diet. This is our fuel.
And you guess who's the dietitian? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the dietitian that knows what we have need of, and everybody here has need of something a little bit different. We're all at different levels in our workout program. When do we overcome? When we die. When we leave this body, then we have overcome. And we are not overcoming in this life. We are overcoming this life. We live in a fallen, perverted, wicked, unclean, unhealthy sphere, atmosphere, environment. That's where we live. Our homes, you remember when we were here before, I said we need to get little signs put on our mailbox. And it says, when we're walking into somebody's house, it says you're entering heaven. And when you're leaving your house and leaving your property, the other side of the sign says you are now entering hell. To kind of be a reminder to us that we need to put on the full armor of God when we leave our house. That, see, we can govern and produce an atmosphere